Well, we got the holiday coming, and not long after that, college football gets down to the nitty-gritty. The BCS Final Four, the Orange Bowl, and what should be a tremendous matchup, the Oklahoma Sooners taking on the Clemson Tigers, the number one team in the country, and a classic matchup. To learn more about it, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by the voice of the Sooners, Toby Rowland. Toby, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure. How are you today?
We're doing just great. Fired up about this game. It's going to be a great matchup. And I'm sure for Oklahoma, after losing last year to Clemson, 40-6 in a bowl game, not that you need any extra incentive when you're battling for a national championship, but one more little thing can't hurt.
Yeah, I think that several of the guys were excited when they saw the matchup. That game a year ago certainly was a hard one to stomach. An embarrassing one for a lot of the guys. The way that night unfolded, they were thoroughly dominated by Clemson, 40-6. And so this year, you know, they lost five games last year, and they've been able to make amends for four of those five so far. And the one that they haven't had a chance to make amends for yet is Clemson. So whether or not they can remains to be seen. But I know they're excited for the opportunity.
Well, been lots of attention, of course, on their quarterback, Deshaun Watson. But my goodness, looking at the numbers and watching throughout the season the play of Baker Mayfield, this guy's a real special talent, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. He's, you know, he's so fun to watch. His escapability, his personality, charisma that he plays with. And on top of that, I think the thing that has impressed me the most about Baker this year is his efficiency. And coming in, he's a transfer from Texas Tech, and coming in, his reputation was that he's a bit of a gambler. He had 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in his year at Texas Tech. He had 2 picks in the spring game at Oklahoma this year in limited playing time. So if I sat here, if you told me at the beginning of the season that at the end of the year he would have a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, I probably would have taken it. But here we sit, and he had 35 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions this year, which is off the charts. He's done a great job of igniting this football team, of leading this football team, and I was shocked, to be honest with you, that he wasn't invited to New York City.
Well, when you look at his numbers, you look at the running back, you look at the play of Sterling Shepard, guys like Westbrook and Neal, do you feel like the Sooners in this matchup maybe have the better skill players?
That's a good question. I think that you know, Clemson is tremendously talented, and it starts with Deshaun Watson. I mean, what he brings to the field, I don't know that there's another quarterback in America that has the skill set he does, with the size and the speed and the accuracy and the ability to read defenses. He's really the complete package, and he has a lot of weapons around him, and Shaq Lawson on the defensive line is a one-man wrecking ball. So I think what you've got is two tremendously talented football teams with a lot of future NFL guys on it, which is what makes it such a fun matchup. Whichever team wins this game, I think has a great chance to win it all.
Let's talk about the defensive side of things up against what has been at times a high-powered Clemson offense this year, led by Watson, but a good running back as well. What are the keys defensively for Oklahoma?
I think you got to contain Deshaun Watson, and I mean, you know, try to make him throw in the pocket if you can. And he can do that. He's really good. He can pick you apart if that's all he does. But when he becomes tremendously hard to try to contain is when he gets out and starts making plays in the open field. He's a little bit like Baker Mayfield in that regard. If you've got to worry about him running and him beating you with his arm, good luck. So I think they've got to figure out a way or devise a defensive scheme, whereas they try to keep him in a bubble back there and try to make him beat them throwing the football. He might do it, but I think that's their best path to slowing him down.
We're talking with Toby Rowland. He's the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, the host of the T-Row in the Morning Show as well. In this college football playoff setup here in season number 2, do you think that we got the best 4 teams?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we'll always have in this system an element of doubt there where the 5th or 6th place teams look awfully good. But I think so. I mean, I think that certainly Michigan State earned their way in with what they did late in the year. You can't argue with Clemson. They're unblemished. Oklahoma and Alabama look very powerful late in the season as well. So I think, you know, this committee, as scrutinized as they've been, is two for two. I think they got the right four teams a year ago, and that's coming from a Big 12 guy. And I think they got the right four teams this year as well. So I like the setup. I know a lot of people are calling for it to expand to eight or for some adjustments to be made on the committee. But from someone who hosts a talk show like you do, the debate and the weekly chatter that this causes is great for me. So I love it. I love the way it sets up, and certainly this year it worked out for Oklahoma.
Toby, can you talk a little bit about Bob Stoops and what he's meant to Oklahoma football?
Well, he's a giant. I mean, I think that probably he's one of those coaches that it's going to take 10 years to pass after he's done for us to really soak in what he meant here. For someone to follow in the legacy of Bud Wilkinson and Barry Switzer and not only hold his own, but in many ways surpass what they've done. He's the winningest coach in Oklahoma history, and that's a mouthful at this place. So he's a giant, and I hope that Oklahoma wins the national championship for a variety of reasons this year. And one of them is for Bob, because for him to only have one after everything he's done in his 17 years here, I think some people hold it against him a little bit. And I think it would help his legacy both locally and nationally if he could add a national title to that resume.
Now, we were out there. I do the games for the University of Maine, and about a decade ago now, we were out and played Nebraska, and, of course, such a different world for us. And I remember the guys on the Nebraska radio crew asked if we could come on their radio pregame show, and I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. What time? And it was about 8 hours before kickoff. They had 35,000 people on a practice field to listen to the radio pregame show. So just as a means of comparison here, when you do, for instance, a big game, obviously like the Orange Bowl, what time will you go on the air? What time will you be at the stadium for a 3 p.m. game on the 31st?
Not quite that far. I try to get to the stadium 5 hours before kickoff. We start our pregame coverage 4 hours before kickoff, and I won't be on the air for the entirety of those 4 hours, but that's when we start our pregame show. There's kind of different layers to it as you go along and different shifts that build toward kickoff, but big deal. You know, that's the identity of the people of the state of Oklahoma in many ways. When you think of Oklahoma, you think of Tornadoes and the Sooners. You know, and in recent years, the Oklahoma City Thunder have kind of moved in and become an identity for the people around here as well. But they love their Sooner football. When they're not playing, it's a countdown to when the next season starts all year. And this has been a fun season for the people of Oklahoma and the Sooner fans that really stretch across the country. It's fun when we travel to the East Coast or West Coast to see how many Sooner fans we see in airports and on sidewalks, and they'll be down there in Miami. It's Sooner Nation is large.
Well, and people obviously think about the impact on the fans and the team, but even for broadcasters, there's an added level of excitement when you step behind the mic to do a game of this consequence.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit hard to sleep the night before, and you know, I think you know that the calls that you make or the things that you say on that night are probably going to live for a while and be held on highlights, good or bad, for years to come. And so it adds a little bit of pressure, but it also adds a little bit of excitement, and that's kind of what you live for, to get to call games that matter and games that people want to see and want to hear and want to be a part of. So this is a good time to be a Sooner right now. Our men's basketball team's ranked number 2 in the nation now, and football team's in the Final Four. So I was mentioning this morning, I have called one loss in the last 7 months, and that was Wow. The OU-Texas football game. So it's times are good right now.
Absolutely. Well, Toby, we appreciate you making time for us. Good luck to you and the Sooners on the 31st down at Sun Life Stadium against the Clemson Tigers in the Orange Bowl. And happy holidays to you and your family as well.
Well, happy holidays to you. It's nice of you to have me on. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Toby Rowland, voice of the Oklahoma Sooners here on Downtown 20.